Mark IV. The end of the decade, and a new danger emerges. Crack. While heroin was a drug that caused the most damage in the late 80s and early 90s, in the Northeast, officers were faced with a new menace that had the potential to wreak even more havoc. Crack cocaine. Crack is a crystallized form of the powdered drug cocaine that first came to prominence in the early to mid 80s in the United States, where its use first reached epidemic levels in impoverished neighborhoods in New York City, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington DC, Los Angeles, and Miami. The creation of the drug was born out of market forces, albeit of the criminal nature. According to the US Drug Enforcement Agency, by the late 1970s, there was a huge glut of cocaine powder being shipped into the United States. This caused the price of the drug to drop by as much as 80%. Faced with dropping prices for their illegal product, drug dealers converted the powder to crack, a solid form of cocaine that could be smoked. Broken into small chunks or rocks, this form of cocaine could be sold in smaller quantities to more people at bigger profit. It was cheap, simple to produce, easy to use, and highly profitable for dealers. Like most things American, it eventually made its way to the UK, first being used in the bigger cities, such as London, Birmingham, and Manchester. But again, dealers are always looking for new and lucrative markets. Aberdeen, with its oil wealth, fitted the bill. Detectives believe the drug found its way into the Northeast thanks to prostitutes, who often travelled to the area to make money from oil workers who had cash to burn. One officer said, "Crack cocaine was mixed in with prostitutes coming up from down south and taking 7-day lets in flats. Some of the girls were already crack addicts and introduced clients to the drug. In some cases, offshore workers from down south, who maybe knew folk in the drug scene down there, would tell them there was money to be made in a soft market. It came from nowhere, just exploded." Officers were hugely concerned by the arrival of crack. They had heard and seen stories from the States where it had devastated poor areas, sparking huge increases in violence and crime as gangs fought over the profits and addicts looked for cash. The major issue with crack was that in comparison to other drugs, the high lasted minutes as opposed to hours, but it was a powerful and addictive high. Therefore, if you did the maths, a user needed much more money to feed a crack habit than they did for heroin. A retired officer said, "Where a heroin addict might spend £30 to £50 a day on heroin, a crack addict would need £200 a day to fund that habit. With heroin, you'd have a high for a few hours. With crack, it was 10 to 15 minutes. To fund that, you either committed crime, shoplifting or break-ins, or dealt the drug." Those using the prostitutes as couriers were yardie gangsters. Originating from Jamaica, the term yardie literally means backyard and is applied to Jamaican-born gangsters in the UK. They were predominantly based in London, but after the Met's Operation Trident, which targeted such criminals, many moved to areas like Birmingham and Manchester. As profits rose, they started to appear in the Northeast. One officer said, "Aberdeen was a soft target. There were plenty of young guys making good money and no threat from incumbent gangs. These guys would come up from the West Midlands, set up safe houses and keep moving around. Different faces, different cars, different phones. They never stayed in one place too long." Grampian police took a slightly different approach with crack. They knew the problems it would bring if it took a firm grip, so they moved hard and fast. Another retired officer said, "I guess we adopted a pretty aggressive stance on crack and had to step up our game. I suppose we were quite hard on it. We adopted the stance that we couldn't wait to see how this would go. It was just attack at the first opportunity. We got quite good at building on intelligence that people were travelling up by train, and then we'd take them out at the railway station. Let's not pretend we got everyone. Far from it. I suppose for every success we had, there were another 10 we didn't have success with." In 1 month period, police arrested 30 Jamaicans in Aberdeen. They were all illegally in the country, and police suspected most of them were mules touring the country supplying crack to dealers in targeted cities. One report said that at the start of the 2000s, officers managed to identify six major criminals who were controlling Aberdeen's crack trade. Two of them were based in London, and four from the West Midlands. There was some intelligence to show the six made fleeting visits to Scotland, but the police did not have enough evidence to arrest them. At one point, though, the database of crack pushers operating on northeast streets grew to 243 names in just 3 years. But as Aberdeen's market was lucrative, the city didn't see the violence often experienced in other parts of the country. After all, there was plenty of trade to go around. But that didn't mean trouble wasn't far away. Kevin Noones, a young man from the West Midlands, had started hanging around with a bad crowd. A gang of drug dealers linked to a notorious criminal gang in Heathtown, Wolverhampton. He learned there was quite a bit of money to be made buying cheap cocaine in the West Midlands, then selling it on in Aberdeen. In what was known as the Aberdeen Run, small-time dealers would board a train in Wolverhampton and head up to the northeast, making three or four times as much as they could back at home. Kevin, then 20, began making several trips, but his money-making scheme didn't last long after he clashed with gang members back home. Kevin's bullet-ridden body was found on a grass verge near a farm in the Staffordshire village of Pattingham in September 2002, just 24 hours after he was released from custody in Aberdeen following his arrest over drugs. Arrests were made and the suspects brought to court. The trial heard that the gang who killed Kevin was allegedly led by Adam Joof, 27, who was said to be making £40,000 a week from selling crack. He was convicted of murder and told he would serve at least 28 years in jail. However, his conviction and that of other gang members was later overturned at the Court of Appeal in 2012. The court heard that concerns about the credibility of the key prosecution witness were not disclosed to the defence. However, last year, police announced they were reopening the investigation into Noones' murder.